Are your ear holes tingling? Because you're listening to chunk number two of The Cast and the Furious. That's us. That's what I said. I said The Cast and the Furious.
You're probably tingling right now because it's really ASMR. I'm giving you ASMR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Cast and the Furious.
When you're here, your family.
No, that's not our tagline right now.
Oh.
Our tagline right now. Because remember, we're trying. Okay, let's. Can we talk normally so people actually hear us?
I hate MSR and ASMR, so let's just. Yeah.
Welcome to the chunk number two of the Fast and the Furious movie.
The first one.
We are on. Yes, we are on minute 26 and a half to minute 53. That's what we're talking about today. It's Jonathan. That's me and Murren. Welcome, Murren.
Hey. Well, yes. Welcome to yourself. I'm always here. We're both always here.
Yeah. You're always here because we're always family.
We are going to say welcome to Jessa, my co-host from Point Break Minute.
Hi.
And also my fiance.
Hi.
We got engaged recently.
And I'd like to introduce my fiance, Rob Lumley.
Hi.
Rob's here.
Surprise, everybody. We're getting married. They said it couldn't be done physically.
I feel like now we're on this subject. I feel like you should share a little anecdote, Jessa.
You should share it.
Okay. Jessa, we did a very hipstery kind of proposal where it's Swedish style. You're like
you
Swedish style
meatballs?
Pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
And pancakes, yeah.
Hergen flergen der.
Jessa has a lot of, you know, ties to Swedish ancestry. And in Swedish style, you do it, each person proposes to the other. So it's not just the man proposing to the woman, but the woman proposes to the man.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. So that's what we did. And Jessa, after proposing to me, revealed that one of her ideas was dressing up as Vin Diesel and saying, "Will you live life with me a quarter mile at a time?" She was just thinking like, "Oh wait, what is Murren like? Fast and furious. I guess that's an idea." And
he wants to marry.
Is it weird that excites me? That sounds like the perfect way to say it.
There's something very poetic about a quarter mile at a time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we've got another anecdote. Everyone's wearing a tank top except me. Everyone in this recording.
I have so far worn a tank top for every recording we've done. I'm going to make that a thing.
You have. I don't have tank tops, and I don't think I'm going to get them.
Well, Paul Walker never only wears t-shirts, so you can be Paul Walker.
That's right.
He always just wears a plain t-shirt with nothing on it.
I don't own a plain t-shirt.
Or you could do the whole Vince thing and wear two tank tops, one on top of each other.
All right. Well, let's get to the news first. Murren, let me go check the mailbox and make sure. Let's go see if we got any mail today. Let's see here. That doesn't sound like mail. It sounds more like a wet tissue. But
it was a wet mail.
It was raining, yep, it was. So the mail got a little soggy.
Yeah, it was raining outside. Let me check. Well, nope. I still have nothing from the Olive Garden. The Olive Garden has not sent us a cease and desist, and I've checked our email. We do not have anything there yet. So, gotta come up with a new slogan that they used to use, try and get them to come after us.
What do you got?
This chunk, we're going to be the slogan from 2013. We're all family here. A poorer slogan.
Yeah. It feels like they wanted to go back to the old slogan, but then it was too late because they sold it to Jimmy Fallon.
That's so weird. And I thought to add to that, because we can't just have Olive Garden coming after us, we need to have Corona also coming after us. So I found, I mean, they've got a million of them, but tonight's the perfect one. It is Corona, miles away from ordinary. That's this podcast. We are miles away from ordinary.
Do you think,
I love it.
Olive Garden will continue to ever change that and then just change it to like a different form of here. So it's hear ye, we are family.
We are family, all my brothers, sisters, and me.
Yes.
Yeah.
When that goes into the comment, when that becomes royalty free, that song in 100 years, like Space Olive Garden will have that as its, as its slogan. That's not bad. I'm glad you both are here. Jessa, I'm glad you're here because one, you know the most about this movie because you've seen Point Break and broke it down 1 minute at a time.
That's true.
Yeah, we had to have you on to talk about this.
I found a diagram that helps you figure out whether or not you are watching Point Break or the Fast and the Furious. So I thought I would do this before we get started. And you guys can all play
it
along. It's
like
right?
One question. Is it good? Yes or no?
Which
ooh,
one? Wait,
burn.
So, okay, we'll get to your thoughts here in a second. Is the hero a punkish young FBI agent? Yes or no?
Yes.
What, for what? Wait, yes.
Because each one, each answer takes you down a different path.
Wait, yes or no for what?
Well,
is the hero of this movie
Fast and the Furious?
I'm telling you whether you're watching Point Break or
okay.
Fast
no, he's not. He's not.
No.
Okay, you've already ruined the whole bit because.
No,
is the let's just say this: is the young hero a young undercover agent?
Yes.
Does he deduce that extreme sportsmen are responsible for a rash of crimes?
Wait, so my
sure, if racing is a sport,
yeah, exactly.
Which is another whole other debate for me.
You guys are killing the bit.
You just want
yes
one
no?
syllable answers.
Yeah,
yes.
Does he track them by going undercover and takes part in that sport?
Yes.
Does he initially target the wrong set of criminals?
Does he?
No, not really.
Yes.
Sure, yes. It's unclear.
I'm going to skip over 5 of the questions. At the end, does everything go badly wrong with half the gang getting badly wounded?
Yes.
After the bloodbath, does the hero let the villain go free at the end like some massive idiot?
Yes.
Is Vin Diesel in it?
Yes.
If you say yes, it's Fast and the Furious. If you say no, it's Point Break. Yeah. So that was the bit. Yeah,
but
the only
you guys
the only
were too intellectual
needle.
About it.
No, yeah,
you ruined the
well,
bit.
This opens up some
you
questions.
It.
Like we start to go into this a little bit in this chunk. Does he go after the wrong gang? It seems like he's always clear that Vin Diesel is a key to this. Although he sometimes says at one point that he thinks he may not be the actual perpetrator.
But
so it's kind of unclear in Fast and Furious because it's always kind of focused on the Vin Diesel gang. The other gang, there is another gang, but it's kind of, they're not as, whereas in the Point Break where it's like, oh, he does not believe that Bodhi's involved for most of the movie.
Because Bodhi is too perfect.
Well, there's two other gangs. There's, Hector's gang.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tran's
Hector's gang.
In this chunk. So let's talk about this chunk. This chunk begins where we left off. All right, here we are.
Also, you explained why you were happy Jess is on, but you didn't mention why you're happy I'm on.
So this part
well,
of the movie we're talking
that,
about is Vin Diesel, Dom, is still in the car with Paul Walker's Brian, and they are driving
Brian
away.
Earl's
They've just talked
it.
About how the internet can tell you
anything
about anybody. Anything about
anything
anybody.
Anything about anybody.
And they're in the car, and they're talking about now we're finding out a little bit about Vin. Or Vin. About Dom.
Vin.
Dom.
It's tough because there's a character named Vince, too.
Yeah, Vince. It's very confusing. And one named Lance. We'll get
there.
Yeah,
we'll get to Lance. My breakout star of the chunk.
So he's asking him about it. And he says he did 2 years in Lawn Park. And I'd die before I ever go back.
Did he say I'll tap? Did he say I'll tap? I thought he said I'll
what?
Tap before I go back. And I was like, what does he mean? Like as a...
No,
what?
He
no,
says,
he'll die.
He says, I'll die before I go back.
Like
he,
Taps, like the song Taps.
Like, da, da, da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear he said tap. And I was like, does that mean he would, like, let everyone know who's, like, I thought that means he would give away everyone instead of going to jail.
Oh.
Or does he mean I'll tap out?
I don't know.
Like, oh. He'll commit you know.
Oh.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Well, I mean, I don't know.
I had the,
you guys seemed to.
I had the subtitles on. I'm pretty sure he said die. I'll
yeah.
die before I go
yeah,
back.
Yeah, he says die. Because that's where ride or die comes from, I thought. I thought this is his mantra he's always had.
Yeah, he's.
Wait.
Which is ride or die. He is now at a point in his life where he would rather drive and not get caught. If he gets caught, he would die.
Are you saying that Vin Diesel
that.
Invented the phrase ride or die?
Did he?
No, that was DMX.
Well, he definitely used it in the song,
yeah.
So I don't know, in our theme song. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe we can figure it out as
I
we go.
I believe it originated with Thomas Jefferson when he spoke to George Washington about,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone
this
nods.
Bit did not have
I
an ending.
I thought that was going
no,
somewhere.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. And they're driving, and then a bunch of motorcycles pull up next to them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, biker boys.
It's our first set of biker boys.
Well, our only set of biker boys in this movie, at least. As far
pull
as
over. No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for asking.
Another great joke from Rob.
Dumb and Dumber always makes its way in. Is Johnny Tran? Johnny Tran's on one of those bikes, but he's not the one who says pull over.
Yeah, that is that Lance. It's with the helmet on. I can't really tell. It might just be another gang member.
I think it is Johnny Tran.
He pulls a
gun
out.
Can't tell with the helmet on. Their faces. They can't tell what the face looks like.
What their face is? What, Myrn?
Oh, are you accusing me of not being able to tell Asian people apart? I'm trying to tap dance around that. No, okay. I could tell these characters apart. I'll tap dance before I go again. No, I could tell these characters apart. It's just with the helmet, the motorcycle helmet on. I can't tell who it is.
I think that's Lance.
I think so too.
It looks like Lance. And so they all pull over. It's weird that Johnny Tran is on one of the motorcycles because in my mind, the guy who runs the gang is always waiting at the lair.
This whole scene is weird.
Yeah. This whole scene there's no point to it.
Except introducing these characters.
Yeah, what happens is they're introducing us to their gang.
By the way, that gang is Chinese. I don't know if you know that from the hints the movie subtly gave you throughout it.
Well, it's...
You mean the giant statue of Confucius?
And a bunch of little statues that are just kind of scattered around. It's like we're at Fountains of Wayne or something. There's a bunch of, like, garden statues.
Have you guys ever, like, you know those little stores that sell statues? Normally there's not just one type. Have you guys ever bought a statue for your house?
Statue for my
house. Yeah, like, there's those places and they have, like, all sorts of, like, weird, like, statues to put in your yard.
We once bought a rather large lion statue for my grandfather for his birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, so he had that at his house for a while. It was a white lion statue, probably weighed about 100 pounds.
This weekend I bought a big brass camel.
Yeah, nice. That's sure did, Jonathan.
And won it. So the reason I ask is I have a related story, as I'm prone to do.
Oh, fancy that.
When I was in college... I had gone back to some high school friends. They had moved up to a different city, and I had moved to a different city as well. So we were on different ends of the state, and I went up and visited them. And we were hanging out. We were doing cool things, guys. We connected a bunch of Xboxes together and had a LAN party.
Oh, I thought you jerked them off.
Yep.
You human centipeded the Xboxes.
So we had this party.
If you dangle their cords really
fast.
We had
this party, and this day is important for two things, because two important things happen. One, I put my foot in my mouth, which we can or cannot get to later. But more importantly for this, two of the friends had gone out to, like, I mean, if I remember right, because we were really cool doing our Halo party, to get Mountain Dew and Doritos, right?
That is cool.
And they came back much later, like 2.5 hours later, and they were carrying an 80-pound marble pony that they had stolen from someone's front yard. Not as cool as Confucius. But so my friend decided that they should return it because you shouldn't be taking stuff, right? What they decided to do is they took black electrical tape and they taped all around it, so it was a zebra instead.
Oh,
okay.
And
it's in disguise.
And then a few nights later, they walked it back and left it on their front step. I think for a while it had been displayed in front of their house. The people who got the marbled pony now turned into a zebra. Later on, put it back. No, they put it back in their own yard, but they kept the stripes. So they kept this marble pony as a zebra, and as far as I know, for years, they had this marbled 80-pound zebra outside their house.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it? That's what that's what the world's
all
about.
The poetry to it.
Mm-hmm.
Were they in a biker gang?
Maybe the house they stole it from was a biker gang, but my friends are not in a biker gang, no.
I checked the Wikipedia for Fast and Furious. It just says Johnny Tran's gang. They don't have a name.
There's no gang.
They didn't even list a name in this movie.
Well, does Dom's gang have a name?
Yeah, they're the colorful car boys. They're the tank tops. They're the tank tops. Hey, here we come. We're the tank tops.
So you mentioned that it seems like they're playing this gang as Chinese because you see a big statue of Confucius while ominous music plays.
And then they drive into like a Chinatown thing too.
Yeah, they drive into a Chinatown thing and that's like where their base is. Rick Yoon, who plays Johnny Tran, is Korean. And doesn't, I don't know, this is gonna tap dance around this. He doesn't look Chinese to me. I don't know if I can make that judgment call, but he's not.
Is that the name of the title that you thought it was going to be?
No, not at all. That's not going to be the title.
He doesn't look Chinese to me.
Cutting us all. And then, in any case.
Oh, I'm editing it, so good luck.
It's up to you. Anyway, he's not Chinese by fact, which I...
In Wikipedia, it says Johnny Tran is Vietnamese.
Okay.
What the hell's
going
on?
It says
on
he was raised in Little Saigon.
With this gang, then. Because they try really hard in the movie to be like, listen, Confucius, Chinatown... Chinese gang.
they're definitely painting them one way.
And then anyway, Reggie Lee, who plays Lance, he is
Lance.
I'm so excited for Lance. The actor is Reggie Lee. I have more on him. He is from the Philippines originally. He has an interesting career. I was trying to remember. He worked on Grimm for 6 years. Grimm was filmed in Portland during the time that I was living here.
Yeah, he was the policeman, right?
Yeah, so he was hanging out in Portland for a while. I think he did a play here while he was doing that. I'm sure he did something like that. So I saw I saw his name around on like events and stuff, and I was like, oh, Reggie Lee, there he is. Also, trivia, former member of the backup dancers for Prince.
What?
Oh, that's the coolest thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
Wait, but has anybody here seen Prison Break?
The show?
Yeah.
I've seen the first episode because he showed it to me.
I have not seen Prison Break.
He's like...
You were thinking of the movie, weren't you?
The show on Fox.
Yeah.
That they pushed in like 2005 really hard.
He's like the really bad guy on Prison Break, and he's got crazy eyes.
Oh.
He has crazy eyes in this movie, too,
he does.
I would say.
He's got good crazy eyes.
He's got a lockdown on that.
Yeah.
So why do they meet up? Talk for a while in this movie, then drive away, and then come back and shoot him up. What is that all?
I think they don't want the rest of the gang to know they're about to blow up this car. Like, they come back and ditch them, except there's some dude on the back of nothing less cool than a bad guy having a hanger on.
A jetpack?
Like, jetpacking on his back. Is that a girl?
It's whoever he wants it to be.
Okay.
Well said, Jessa. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that, but they're like, they leave some of the gang behind. Like, so they leave and then, like, only some of the gang comes back to shoot the car.
It's weird.
Only two people come back. It's the main guys.
It's just Lance
Vince
and Johnny Tran.
Johnny.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they must.
With their girlfriends on the back, I think.
They just don't have enough bikes for everyone, I guess. They come, so they say, Johnny Tran says, I thought we agreed. You stay off my turf, basically. It's just like, hey, you're coming over to my part of the town. We agreed we just stick to our own parts of the town. But he had to come, you know, it was just because they were running from the cops. And, of course...
Forget it, Brian. It's Chinatown.
Yeah. Forget it, Brian. It's Chinatown.
It's so weird that the guy who plays Johnny Tran is named Rick Yoon, and on the Wikipedia for Fast and Furious, he's deceased.
What?
He's not dead, guys.
Well, he's talking about the character.
So... Okay.
But the character doesn't die either.
But it says who played him. You think that they're saying the character's dead?
Well, that was my first instinct because, like, obviously it's not that hard to find out that Rick Yoon is not dead. But maybe they mean the character's dead. But then again, if I remember correctly, the character doesn't die in this movie either. He just gets arrested.
You don't know what happened in prison.
He gets shot in the back.
Oh, he does?
I think he dies.
Okay. Well, we haven't gotten to that chunk
yet. He doesn't die yet, and I have some notes about that death, so we'll talk about it in this.
Well, in that case, if you're sure he dies in this movie, then that's what I think they mean, that the character's dead.
Okay. All right.
In the world of Fast and Furious, Johnny Tran is no longer.
Was this the last movie to have Uzis?
What, ever?
No, name a movie that comes out after this one where someone carries an Uzi, but not in a cliched way. What? Like, this movie, they're still using Uzi as if they're the coolest gun ever created.
Oh.
Because remember, like, the 80s and 90s, like, Uzis were everywhere. Yeah. It's, like, the most impractical gun. It's tiny. You can't get them anywhere. They don't have parts.
They have parts.
But
what
every
do you mean, parts?
Every...
How often are you like, I need this part replaced on my gun?
You need to go to...
What
Look,
parts?
I'm a huge gearhead. I'm also a huge
all
gun
about
head.
Parts.
So.
Parts, parts, parts.
That's all this movie's about.
The car explodes big time.
Does that happen?
So this is another
cars
they
exploding.
Shoot the car,
from
not
shooting?
Like that.
They shoot the car from the front with Uzis until it explodes, mm-hmm. and At which point,
I think is it the NOS that explodes?
Well, that's the thing, because this is Brian's car, and he used all his NOS in the race.
Does he not have, does he have NOS number three? There was NOS one and two. He had buttons.
I would assume there's only two, like, although they do say at one point that he has enough NOS to blow himself up. So I guess that's a little Chekhov's NOS right there. You know, they're setting up NOS. And paying off.
Chekhov's NOS.
Do you know what you call it? Like, you know, when Dom warned him, right? He said beforehand that it was, do you know what that's called?
What?
It's called a NOS prompt. Yeah. Yeah, baby. That's some MS-DOS jokes there.
I'll take your word for it, Rob.
Command line, baby.
So,
you know, they're a lot younger than you are, Rob.
So what you're talking about is Vin, before it explodes, it's on fire, and he yells, NOS!
Yeah.
He goes, NOS!
And they run, and then it explodes in green
Command
flames.
Runs.
So, yeah, he used both. He had NOS 1 and 2, and he used both of them. But is NOS like when you're peeing, and there's always just a little bit left in the tank?
Oh yeah, God.
I guess so.
You're supposed to it's not shaking. You're supposed to push in the space between to clear out the rest.
Yeah, use your NOS.
Are we talking about NOS anymore? Ugh, Jess is grossed out. I'm grossed out.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So the car. Okay, I don't think they blow up the car. I'm watching those moments. The car just kind of catches on fire.
Yeah.
And then the NOS catches, explodes in a secondary NOS! Blue explosion.
That's a top quote for me.
And
now.
Then they're like, Dom, who's your favorite rapper?
NOS! NOS! Then Ja Rule's like, hey, what about me?
They start walking back. They got about 20 right. miles, so they
got bones. I got bones to pick here. Did this movie have like a troubled production? Because like this scene is so weird. They sit in the car, and he asks them, Paul Walker or Brian or whatever his name is.
It's like, Brian Earl Steele.
You got them both.
What the hell was that about? And then Dom's like, long story, I'll tell you later. Then the car blows up.
Yes.
And then
yes,
he's like, what the
too.
Hell was that about? It's a long story. I'm like, did you forget we just heard that?
They just have the same exact two lines right before and after the explosion.
I think they probably shot these scenes at different times.
Did they edit them at different times, too?
Yes, they didn't notice.
I was going to say.
They edit this one chunk at a time, and you're like, I forgot what
And
happened.
Then he does explain. He's like, I'll tell you later. I slept with a sister.
Yeah.
Wait, that
well, was it? No, Ryan. He says something like,
"We did.
Hey, we got a
20-mile
hike. You might as well tell me." And he's like, "Okay, well, we had some business dealings, and also I made the mistake of sleeping with his sister because Dom has to be the cool guy who just sleeps around with everyone. Another double standard."
I wish that right after that, as they walk, like they walk past the camera, then you just hear them go, "Well, what do we talk about now?" that was the story.
Also, they don't have a long walk because the next scene has them pulling up in a taxi.
I wish they would have, like, they get to the house and they're just, like, so tired.
Look, everyone like knows how LA works. Chinatown is 20 minutes away from anything.
A 20-minute walk.
It's just down the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't be going in there if you don't need to.
Nope.
Confucius say.
Well, the... he
Confucius
says that.
Confucius say, forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Forget it, Dom.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
At the Olive Garden in Tarant, we speak a different language. We have no words for can't and won't. No phrases for a little less. In fact, we don't know the meaning of enough. Some would say speaking a different language can make all the difference in the world. The Olive Garden Italian restaurant, where all the best of Italy is yours. Come back for the endless refills of salad and garlic breadsticks that make us special.
I remember there was another note about what Johnny Tran says. Like they ask him, he's like, whose car is that? He's like, well, it was Brian O'Connor's car, but now it's my, yeah, but is that like now it belongs to Vin or Dom? Name
Vin.
Vin now it belongs to Dom.
What's the VIN number on that car?
What's the VIN number? Oh. But then Vin says, "Oh yeah, I haven't taken possession of it yet." And then Johnny Tran says, "Oh, so it's nobody's car.
It's not my car." It's like, oh, okay. Brian looks at him wrong.
Yeah.
Like he's like betraying something. But dude, I did give you this car.
I think it seems like the way I interpreted it is that Johnny Tran is like, oh, it's nobody's car, so it doesn't matter if I just blow it up.
Yeah. Is that what you're thinking? So he takes if he'd taken possession of it and Johnny Tran had blown it up, he gave him his 10-second car and it got blown up. Now he still owes him a 10-second car.
Yeah, then later he says, you still owe me a 10-second car. So that was Dom's way of just weaseling out of that.
So you were saying that Dom knew that the car was going to be exploded.
Maybe. Maybe he knew that. Like, Johnny Tran likes to do that. That's his signature.
I wouldn't send the car I knew was going to get blown up. That's just me. That's just my
list. Send the car. They got taken over by Uzis and Lance and his leather pants, his snake leather pants.
Oh, Lance with his pants.
Lance pants.
I like that they address it in the movie. They say, the guy in the snakeskin pants is Lance. Yep. One, great alliteration. Secondly, they are
it's
great
not
pants.
Alliteration, it's a rhyme.
You're right. Snake skin pants, Lance. Mm-hmm. That's not alliteration.
Lance Same with his sound. Snake skin pants.
This movie, I'm so happy you allowed me to talk about. I'm glad you brought a real alpha male in with me to talk about this movie, Toxic Masculinity. Because this party we go to is real awkward.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Okay, before we get there, let's all have a moment of, it's the house, guys. This is Ben's house for the first time.
Dom's house.
This is the Dom house. We're in the Dom house now.
Also, before we get to the party, too, can we just say that it's weird that Jordana Brewster has a picture of her brother and herself on her mirror?
Yeah.
That is weird. Mm.
Maybe she's going to fight him like in Rocky 3, like Rocky 4. She keeps her enemies on her mirror so she can rip them down later after she's trained.
They are family. You know, family is serious here.
But yeah, the house, we haven't seen this house. We see this house all the way until Fast 7.
Yeah.
When Shaw, friend of the family, blows it up.
Shaw, right.
We're just creating a list of things that Shaw does that I cannot forgive him for. Blowing up this house is one of them.
Blowing up a house would be hard to forgive.
Is Shaw Statham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Shaw is Statham. Okay.
Deckard Shaw.
Not only is she creepy in that she's got her gross clothes on and her hair up in held up or something gross. Nobody wants that.
Are they blood
and she
siblings
see-
or is it step?
I don't know. I think they're blood siblings, but they don't look very similar.
How old are they supposed to be?
Also, very very large age difference.
Yeah.
I believe 14 years. Vin Diesel is 34 in this, and she is 20.
Because if it's Step, and I've learned anything from the internet, you know, why she has that picture up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being so square that there's a dirty party going on down below, and you're just wearing
She's
your,
studying.
Like,
big, He's upstairs studying.
Big schmata sitting upstairs. Like,
She's
oh,
not
dirty
like all party. The other girls.
There's a pretty boy up here. I'm going to take my shirt off. This is gratuitous. Oh, I mean, there's no nakedness, really.
No, but it's just like, it didn't have to do, like, she could have had a bra on or an undershirt, but no, it was just full on, just.
Half the people at this party are half undressed.
Yeah. With like, the mix of this movie when they go to this party, like, there's kind of music playing, but not really, and at first, for a while, it seems like, that, like, Vince is the one supplying the music because he's on his guitar.
Exactly. Like, he's definitely making that wailing.
That cool guy with the guitar.
So when I first saw
Yeah, I think I've written down it's dum dum wah.
Yep, over and over again.
Dum dum wah.
When I first saw this guitar, I was like, hey, what is he doing with this freaking Zakk Wylde guitar or something like that? Like, and then I looked it up and I was like, it is literally a Zakk Wylde guitar.
Oh,
so
really?
Somehow I had that information just like in my head, just programmed in somehow, just from being a guitar geek when I was a teenager.
And like any, you know, like any movie that has like a crazy party like this, there's always generally like a lot of people. This does not have a lot of people. There's some people there, but it's not a full house party. And like really loud music. Instead, this is just some like weirdos in their 30s with like, like having like
with a bunch of basically hood rats.
And like some playing the guitar.
And this is right after they just had they like ran from the cops and they don't know where Dom is.
And their boss, yeah, I'm glad they address it. I'm so glad that they're a shitty crew.
Yeah, it's kind of the point.
That's but not what you do. But it is weird.
They're all just hanging out. Not they seem to have not a care in the world. They're just partying.
I mean, Letty's playing a video game.
Yeah, she's lying on the floor like a little kid playing her game.
Yep. Vince is Dom is dealing advice to all the partygoers when he shows up. I think at one point he says, "You can't detail a car without the cover."
So that I had a note on this.
No, it's his. He says, "Hey Einstein, take it upstairs. You can't detail a car with the cover."
What does that mean?
So I think he
means you can't have sex with somebody when they're wearing clothes.
Yeah, so he's got to go upstairs if you're going to have sex with
them. Interesting.
I don't even want to talk about detailing. Yeah, that is the most.
That's what I thought he meant. It is. You have to have an imagination to get there, I guess. But
yeah,
it is weird. He goes up to Vince playing his Zakk Wylde guitar, and I have to mention this is diegetic music.
Dum dum. Wah.
This is diegetic music, which is my favorite thing to point out in movies. There's a little bit of in Point Break at one point, and usually I love it, but this is super lame. It's just like the music in this movie. I just can't. It's bad.
Hey Spilner, want a beer?
So anyway, after that he slaps Vince's beer out of his hand. Or no, does he do that to the other guy?
No, he grabs.
Yeah, he grabs Vince's beer and then he slaps he slaps the other guy's beer out of his hand. Leon. He's like,
oh yeah, don't forget Leon.
Don't forget Leon. Like, no Corona for you.
Are we supposed to think that this gang, which is going out stealing stuff, making money, this criminal enterprise, as Brian thinks, have these terrible parties where they don't even have enough beer to just like they have to hand me down beers from one person to another?
And then Brian O'Connor is very careful to wipe off the lip of the bottle.
That's such a good move. That is such a good move. This movie is all about Brian getting everything and Vince getting nothing. And it happens twice in this house. It's just like, I've got your beer now. And guess what? Your nasty mouth was all over it. So I'm going to wipe it down.
That also feels like such a middle school move. Like, that's what I did. Like, oh, can I have a sip of your Fanta? Oh, let me just wipe it off. Or I'll just hold it above my mouth so we don't get cooties.
I'm shocked that he even drank it. If I went to a party and someone's like, here, let me take this drink from another
from
person.
From the dirtiest person at the party.
The two tank top wearing Vince.
Yeah, as a way to be you can drink here. I'll get my own. Is there a fridge?
I mean, Rob, you're my friend and you're wearing a tank top. And if you were at a party and someone handed me your beer, I'd be like, no, I'm good.
Let me get my own.
It's someone else's
beer. This is also where he says the iconic line, which really should be Corona's slogan. You can have any brew you want as long as it's Corona.
Oh, you know what we haven't done, Murren? We haven't had our guests do their impression of Vin Diesel. No one's been able to hit it yet.
We haven't had Jessa say what their first cars were. So you want to do Vin Diesel impression, maybe.
Yeah, can you tell, Rob, what do a Vin Diesel impression? Tell me your first car.
1989 Taurus.
Are you on NPR? Are you on Fresh Air?
This suddenly got very mellow.
I'd like to tell you all about my four tours.
It was a station wagon. I can't do a Vin Diesel voice. You're right. It's impossible.
No one can.
It's the only thing he's got going for him.
Yep.
Jessa, what about you? Can you do a voice?
And your car? A 2000 Suzuki Aero SX.
That wasn't bad.
I mean, that's actually not bad. That's a good car and a pretty good impression.
I had my Taurus was the station wagon that you could pop the back seat
the
out.
Station wagon.
You could the back seat you could pop out and then face the other way, which was always
that thing was a crap.
It was always fun when you go over you're on rural roads and you go over bumps and it makes your butt tingle. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I love rural road
butt tingles. Rural roads is a hard combination of words to say.
Rural roads.
Butt tingles.
They walk in and we have some amazing lines. Yeah. One of my favorite lines is Letty says, "You all right?
Am I all right?"
It's just a question. And at first I thought maybe Letty was hurt, but now I think that she was just telling him what his answer was back to him. She's like, "You all right?" And he goes, "Am I all right?" And she's like, "It's just a question."
Broken people.
For all you people who took acting classes, that's a very Meisner technique opening. It's like a repetition exercise. No one knows what I'm talking about here. That's okay. Some people will.
I know who okay. Meisner is.
So you start out like, you look sad. I look sad. You look sad. I look sad. Oh, you laughed at that. I laughed at that. So it was like, are you all right? Am I all right? Are you all right? Am I all right?
Vin was a big, big proponent of the Meisner technique.
That's his school that he went to.
And Letty wants him to go upstairs and try the Meisner technique on her when she forces him to go up there.
She says,
what is this relationship still not defined?
It's so broken.
Not defined
I think it's
anywhere.
Very defined. It's just very weird.
You're tired. Give me a massage.
You're tired. Let's go upstairs and give me a massage.
You were almost killed. Paint my toenails. It's just a weird
and that's after,
request. Obviously, she's trying to get him out of the situation because Vince does not have personal boundaries. Vince gets up in your face and puts his arm over you when he talks to you.
He's so broken. These people are so broken. Everything that happens, I'm just like, man, this is some messed up crew.
Yeah.
Who hurts
you? Hey, at least they always have time for candles.
And Coronas.
Yeah.
Which isn't even like an expensive beer. Like this, it's so scarce. They're just like, listen, you can only drink Corona because we only have six of them.
And we also do get Captain Fisto here when he hands Paul the brew. He holds
it. It's our first. It's his first.
I was thinking,
Fisto.
is that because that's how you like pop the lime into the bottle?
Yeah, because you like turn it upside down, like with the least. Okay, here's how I drink a Corona. You throw the lime in, put your thumb over the mouth hole, and then when you flip it upside down, the lime goes to the top, which is the bottom, and then when you flip it back over, it's kind of like further down than it ever
and
could
then it
be
kind
normally.
Of has flavor.
Then you're basically trying to impart flavor into water.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, Vin also has a line before Letty intervenes. He's like, "So what girls are at this party?" So she's trying to get him out of that too.
Like, what girls? I don't know. Gross girls.
There are two girls making out at this party, and it goes to show, I feel like it's a sign of how boring a director Rob Cohen is that I didn't even notice it, like, watching it multiple times. It, like, took me, like, paying attention to see two girls making out in this scene. It's just, like, it's so boring.
If you were there with that bunch of chunkheads, wouldn't you make out with someone of your own sex? You'd be like, I'm not touching Vince. He's disgusting.
Probably the best option is probably Leon, and that's not saying much.
It kind of reminds me around the same time I was a viewer of professional wrestling, and they had like in WWE, they had just gone so far on like, let's be as crazy as possible. They had like one of the announcers would talk about hot lesbian action, insert chanting HLA. This is around the same time there was a wrestler named The Godfather that would come out with all his hoes.
Yeah, it was a bad time
Oh, man. Well,
this movie still has that level of arm candy going on.
It does, where it's like, oh, what just have two women make out?
Or the woman's going to make two men fight over her.
Yeah. Or like even...
This line makes me laugh. Let me find it. Hold on. Give me a second. First of all, we never talked about because what a buster is. Because this buster kept me out of handcuffs.
What is that?
A buster's a nerd.
That's all. Buster Poindexter. Yeah,
I think it's the opposite of we say Poindexter as who's this Poindexter? It's like a nerd.
Okay.
Buster is the other way.
Oh, I had no idea.
It's a nerd.
Okay.
So. I just thought we should say that. Just
did
keep,
you
keep
a dictionary
going.
That, or is that you just saying that?
No, it's a thing.
Well, which one?
Urban Dictionary.
Okay. So when I see Paul Walker.
It has a couple different things, but it means.
When
it
I
means
see Paul Walker, I think, what a nerd.
Hey, Brian says something that I know is going to get under Rob's skin. He says, hey, bro, you have a bathroom? Rob, don't get Rob started on bathrooms in a house. What I wanted it to be, the line to be was, hey, bro, you have a bathroom? We have three. Yeah, we got three. Three? What are you rich? Jesus Christ. You know, because Rob gets really angry when he finds out there's more than one bathroom in a
but
house.
I'm not mad at
them.
They can't even afford more than a six pack of Corona for their party.
No, they have nothing.
That's true.
And I actually kind of.
Dirt party.
I'm kind of with Dom a little bit when Letty, like, he's like, you know, wants to go upstairs and give him a massage. And he's like, you know, what about the guests? And I'm like, that's fair. You know, if I had people over, I would want to, like, make sure they're doing all right instead of being like, oh, I'm going to go get a massage for my girlfriend.
Some of these people had some of that six beers we had, so
We got to get him rides home. I hope that cab's still outside.
One. Two.
I drank a beer, and then someone made something out of an aloe plant and some water we had in the back. We tried that.
So then,
here, Brian, them, like, take Vince's beer. It's the only one left.
So Brian comes back downstairs, and then Vince asks him, "Did you wipe the seat?"
I took a giant. I had a freight dump, a scare dump, because I was almost murdered.
It got all over everything.
You know, well, once you have Chinese, you know, you're hungry for more later.
What if you just said, yes, that's a saying.
Sure it is.
Imagine you just said, like, him downstairs, like, "Did you wipe?" Just ends it there.
Or,
"Did you take the beer in the bathroom?" Also, yeah.
Brian's like, "Do you have a toilet seat?"
"No, we have a toilet. It's a hole in the floor.
We have a bidet. You haven't used one. It's a little weird to get used to, but I think you'll like it."
That house has like a Pittsburgh toilet. Is that what they'll call those? Those ones that are like, is that Pittsburgh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The toilets that'll be in like basements, and it'll be like, they just put it like, it's, you'll see it in like a lot of older houses where that's like where the drain is. So like, well, we might as well just put a toilet there just in case. And it's just like totally in the wide open in a basement. You guys ever seen that?
Just a toilet in the middle of a basement?
Man, it's a thing.
It's called a Pittsburgh toilet.
No, it's Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm going to look that
up. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, you look that up while we continue talking. Mia
it's
takes
a Pittsburgh potty. That's what it is.
All right. Fair.
It is cut down to Brian just sitting all alone in a basement with no walls. Drinking a Corona.
You got a bathroom? Yeah, we got a Pittsburgh potty down in the basement.
Oh, the seat's so cold. So, yeah, Brian and takes Mia, or Mia takes Ryan upstairs, says, "Let's get me a drink." That drink turns out to be a Snapple, because she can't drink. She's not 21 yet.
Ding, ding, ding. Product placement number 17, 18 at this point.
I wish she would have, like, opened up the top and read the little thing.
Yeah. Huh, it says, I don't know what it would say. Hey, Nas is flammable. Who knew?
It's flammable.
Nas! Monica! Nas! This is turning into like the Cookie Monster. Cookies! Nas! I want Nas! Okay.
So, they do a little, you know, they do a little flirting, and that's where the minute ends. That's where the scene ends.
We're not done yet.
Like, they're very chaste.
Yeah, they're just kind of chatting. I want to point out Ludacris's hit song "Area Codes" is playing in the background of the scene. That's a premonition for Luda's to come.
I can't wait for him to be in the movie. But yeah, and then it's just the next day. I guess he was able to handle that beer that he got.
The half bottle of Corona that he drank.
And a Snapple.
Half bottle of warm Corona that smells like Vince.
A little bit of Vince's saliva in it.
Ugh, gross.
Ugh. He's pulled over by the Popo.
He's got to be in trouble now, guys.
Oh no.
Yeah, he pulls a gun. He pulls a gun out, puts him in handcuffs, and sticks him in the back of the car. And then takes him to a famous Hollywood mansion.
All right. What is happening here? Because this
Ted Levine has showed up. That's what's happened.
Hey, you size 16. Get in the van. You think you had me? You didn't have me. You never had me. You owe me a 10-second car or else it gets the hose again.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I'm glad to have him in the movie.
Buffalo Bill shows up.
Yeah, Sergeant Tanner.
And then they like go into like this fancy place, and then like they're drinking iced cappuccinos.
This is like half.
There's
the
a lot to unpack here, because not only are they drinking cappuccinos, they're drinking them out of the most feminine glasses I've ever seen.
One is decaf too.
Yeah,
it is. But they're in like these little like when I see the glass that he's drinking out of, it reminds me of the Marty Moose glass that he drinks out of in Christmas Vacation. Yes. Yeah. That real dainty, like Griswold crystal?
Yeah, it's like a glass that a diner would give you when they're serving you a milkshake with a cherry on top.
It's so funny, too.
There's definitely
like,
whipped cream on the top of those, too.
Is this the
thing? Yes. So,
is this the way we used to drink cappuccinos?
I don't know. So Sergeant Tanner, Buffalo Bill, I have to imagine, like, he's like, Rob, you really want me to ask for a decaf iced cappuccino in this scene? Like, I was in Silence of the Lambs, you asshole. Yeah. But he does it.
You decaf me? I decaf me.
So he asked this guy, this other cop, I guess, for, can you get us 4 iced cappuccinos? And a guy asks regular or decaf, and he's like, better make it decaf. That's the least badass thing that Ted Levine has ever had to say in a movie.
And that's what I can't figure out is, like, there's these app, like, during this chunk, there are some of the stupidest moments. And I'm like, is this supposed to be a joke? Like, earlier when I said they say the same line twice in a row in between the car blowing up, right? Or, like, this whole cappuccino thing. I'm like, is this supposed to be, like, am I supposed to laugh? Is this supposed to be saying something? Or is this that moronic?
That's how I feel about all of these movies.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be a joke? I don't know.
I'm with you.
Like, is he really a cop? Or are they pretending to be cops?
Oh, I like that idea. It's just some actors that are like, why don't we just pretend?
So they're living, and they're staying in the house that Eddie Fisher bought for Elizabeth Taylor.
Yep.
Which is untrue.
Can I say one more thing about iced cappuccinos?
Yes,
of course. I don't think that's a real thing. Because you need the heat to foam the cappuccino.
No,
yeah,
I agree.
That's not a thing, right?
Unless the coffee's cold. Oh, and the cream is hot. Ugh.
I think you'd get an iced cappuccino.
How?
No, it's all mixed. If it's iced, it's like a, it's
oh,
like,
you're right. It wouldn't have the foam.
Like an iced cappuccino is a drink with ice in it. It doesn't have froth on the top of it.
You're right.
It's like made to taste like cappuccino.
Mm-hmm. But I don't, but cappuccino is half foam. Like the milk you put in there is foam. So
right.
Is it just cold?
No, that was a regular cappuccino.
They just put an ice cube in there.
Yeah, it was regular. It was in a weird
glass.
And
they put whipped cream on top to make it look like foam. Mm-hmm. So the house is actually the one piece of trivia I have on the house is it was the same house that was used as Walter Matthau's house in Hanging Up. I've never seen it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I've not seen Hanging Up.
Did you also go to the website IamNotAStalker.com?
No.
Because that's where I got all my information. I'll post it in the group. It's called IamNotAStalker.com, and basically she stalks the hell out of people.
That's amazing.
What? Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, thank you. That's the gift that keeps on giving. I was just looking at IMDb trivia, which is also a gift that keeps on giving.
We haven't even gotten to the worst part of this, of this, like, cop police station scene.
Oh, I've got so police station. It's a house.
Well, whatever it is, they've set up shop in. It does nothing here makes any sense.
All right. Well, first of all, the one guy doesn't like the attitude that the cop's giving him. He's an FBI agent.
Yep.
So okay, and then he says, "If we don't do something about these robberies, the truckers will take it back into their own hands." And I was like, what? They're gonna, you're okay with
We don't want vigilante truckers getting weapons and.
Hello, FBI? This is the Truckers Union of America. I have a bone to pick with you. Or if you don't fix this, we are gonna take it into our own hands. We're gonna buy our own harpoon guns.
Yeah, we can't imagine. Imagine if truckers owned guns. That would be chaos.
Yeah. And then he says later on, he's like, well, I need more time. You want time? Find a magazine.
God. This is the line where I'm just like, is this real? How is this, like, and what's weird about this movie is my memory of this movie doesn't match up with, like, the actual release date of it. I remember this movie being big with, like, my high school friends, but I was out of high school when this came out. So I think it might have been a thing where, like, I saw them the next summer or during winter break, and they loved this movie. But, man, there are some real dumb moments.
Oh, yeah.
And that line is so bad.
And then he says later on when the sergeant's talking to Brian as they're walking out, he says, Toretto did a hard time. I was like, he did 2 years for attempted murder. That's not – hard time
not
at all.
Not very long.
That's,
I mean,
that's
longer
not
than I've
long.
Been in prison. He also says he has nitrous oxide in his blood and a gas tank for a brain.
That's not how cars work.
I
your brain isn't the gas tank. If anything, if you put the water that you put in your body to keep you alive is not what keeps you smart.
I drink nitrous oxide and it goes to my head, and then that powers my legs. That's how
it's a Nas prompt.
There you go.
What I think we need to do, and I think all the listeners need to do, is to use this magazine line as much as you can for all sorts of things. For example,
what time is it?
Time to get a magazine.
Know, you want time? You know, I'll buy the Time magazine. You could do, you try to go on a date and you try to take your significant other on somewhere nice and they don't like it. Like, you want Cosmopolitan?
So just, it could
buy
be any
magazine. Or perhaps if, same situation, you have roommates or significant others and happy about how you are keeping the house. You know what you say to them? You want good housekeeping?
Get a magazine.
Buy the magazine.
You want Marie Claire. I don't even know what they sell. Women's clothing? I don't know.
You want Us Weekly.
Hey, why don't we hang out more often? Like, say once a week. You want Us Weekly? Get a magazine. There are so many magazines.
You want food and wine?
Oh, I dropped my phone on the ground. The screen cracked. You want cracked? Get a magazine. It doesn't exist anymore.
I don't know how many of these actually still exist. No,
I haven't bought a magazine for a long time.
If you want to fight, you're mad. Find Mad Magazine.
You're real bad at this job. I
know. I can't do it.
You want better Home and Gardens?
You know, just screaming it doesn't sell it.
I'm fine with it.
Buy the magazine.
I'm totally fine with just screaming magazine titles. That's pretty entertaining, actually.
Harper's Bazaar!
That's all I got. That's all I got. All
right. You want people.
Break. So he gets his assignment. This is the first time that we're finding out that he is a cop. We're 40 minutes
That's
into
something
this movie.
I think is cool about this movie, actually. I mean, the scene is stupid, but
I
like that. And we talked about this when we talked about the trailer. They don't even give that away in the trailer. They really do play it as a surprise. You might not be that surprised by it, especially if you know it's a remake of Point Break, but it's a cool way to play it out. It's a nice difference to make.
I don't know if everybody knew that who's going to see this, because
that's true. They just played it with the advertising and the lead up to it as this is just a street racing movie. And then
remember that it said in the trailer, this is another breed is coming out at night. Another breed of racer comes out. They've only raced at night once.
But they also need this to happen because otherwise the storyline is guy wants to be a racer. He's not good enough. There's another
guy sucks at his thing he likes.
Like, you're like, okay, cool. Where's this going?
Well, that's Days of Thunder, right?
Yeah. Without the wheelchair.
So he gets his job and he gets the new assignment. He's got to continue with these guys and find out more. He leaves the house and then we go to the Toretto auto shop.
Yeah.
This is actually a pretty cool auto shop. I like this part because this is the most acting that Vin Diesel has done in this movie. Niall talked about it in our last chunk. The amount of emoting that Vin Diesel does in this movie as Dominic Toretto is more than he ever does in any of the other movies. Like, he's genuinely happy and, like, enjoying the ridiculousness of Brian driving up with his dumpy car.
Yeah, he's a person and not just a deep voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Is him calling Mr. Arizona another reference to Point Break with Johnny Utah?
Oh, good catch. Sure. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I think so.
Johnny Arizona.
And before we get to really what the car is, we got two really important things we need to talk about. One, he's fisting a Red Bull. He holds nothing daintily. Everything he holds is all fingers. Every finger he has holds the...
I'm all
and most
fingers.
Of us kind of like hold like in a twosie, maybe a three pot type of thing.
I got five fingers and five toes.
It's weird hearing fisting Red Bull. I'm like, oh, you work in agriculture?
Yeah.
And then the most important thing is we need to talk about the contractor's pyramid, which is over on the right side. If you look, there's a green pyramid that explains to you there's three sides of the pyramid that's fast, yep. good, and cheap. You can have it fast and good, but not cheap. You can have it fast and cheap, but not good. And you can have it good and cheap, but not fast.
I've used this in building, like, in my career for, like building websites and projects for people. Sort of been like.
Yeah, you basically show it to them and they're like, yeah. Here's how you get a website. Yeah.
Which one do you want to be at?
Mm.
Yep. Good and cheap is not going to be good. It's not going to be fast.
Yep.
Well, by fast, I mean it's not going to work well. I love that. I love that then, it's up wait, on the
then
wall.
Then how is it good?
Like,
it can only like you got to choose where you're going to yeah. go.
It'll look good as in it's a good looking okay. website, like, and then it's just not fast.
Ideally, you
but
go
it's
good
slow.
And fast, but you got
to
pay
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, that's the ideal, but you have to
yeah.
put down some more G's.
Mm-hmm. Or
around 20 G's.
So they brings in this dump of a car, and then they all are talking, and he's making fun of the car. And did you notice that everybody laughs, and then Mia laughs as if she's an alien who laughs when everyone else laughs? She's like,
I don't know what to do in this scene.
She looks around like, everyone's laughing. I can't lose my cover as an alien.
What if she is
I'm totally
alien,
human.
What if this is a sequel to Coneheads? And she's a
what? That's not even a thing.
I don't know. Okay. Do you have a follow-up to that, Rob?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So she's like new to planet Earth. This is why she doesn't want to go down to that party. It's why she's mm-hmm. kind of awkward on everything.
She's from France.
Yeah. Maintain low tones.
That's a good movie.
That is a good movie. I'll stand for Coneheads, too.
I was just over there, and Mia's eating a bunch of rubbers.
That's why she hangs out with people who work at a car shop.
Yep.
It's a way to get cheap rubber.
So after they leave for the day, she's like.
Yeah, I like this idea. Yeah.
Ingest mass quantities of tuna salad.
That's why she can't make a sandwich to save her life.
Nope. I like mm-hmm. this. She's a conehead.
Sure. It's canon now.
Yeah.
And Jesse, they open up the hood. The car's actually not bad. And Jesse's like, yeah, we'll spend $15,000 on this. So we can do, $15,000. We can overnight the parts from Japan. Mm-hmm. You can't overnight the parts from Japan now in a regular economy. No way. No way these parts are getting here in a day.
Dig a hole.
Do you know how much that would cost?
Dig a hole through the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Trade down.
Yeah, super train goes through a tunnel.
Is Jesse the mm-hmm. Giovanni Ribisi looking guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Chad yes. Lindholm.
He's going to die, right? Because he has that attitude like he's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
He has that look,
yeah.
doesn't he?
He's got that little...
Well, he also... little yeah. His little speech.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives a little speech so you feel a little bit of a... you feel a little for him. Just enough to make it feel bad.
Man, you should go to MIT or something. At that moment... I wrote my notes. At this moment, you knew he yeah. was going yep. to be killed. You should get out of here, man. This place is, you're too big for this place. It's very Good Will yeah. Hunting. It's yeah. very, oh, you're much better than this. Yeah. No, you're going to
die.
Let
me show you what I put on this 3.5-inch disc.
Oh, the disc. Oh, there's some tech of the app in this freaking
like,
thing.
Like, this is 2001. I was on like year 3 with a CD burner as like a high schooler.
Yeah. I don't know why he's still using a Mac 2SI and a 3.5 floppy. It's super weird. There's no way you could put that amount of 3D graphics
on
that
card.
What he
has, it's like a computer program where he can like manipulate a car diagram.
Yeah, it's a whole program he's yeah. running. I like Jesse.
Yeah, he's cool. It's a nice, it's a different type of character for the street racing gang.
He's the only character really yeah. in this movie that we know anything about so
well,
far.
The next movie they're like, let's just replace him with Ludacris. And like drop the ADD thing and just make him really smart with no excuses.
And like the ADD thing isn't like, I mean, it's actually for how stupid this movie is played for the most part all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about this in the last chunk. We were like, they actually do some representation of people that are good at certain things, but other things they just cannot
yeah.
focus
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's essentially, you know, but like they do screw up things where he like can't remember his diagnosis. Like that
yeah,
wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh yeah.
He would be like, oh, I forgot the thing I have for my whole life.
He also can't remember how to say grace.
Yeah, like you don't have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, they're playing it like he's on the but spectrum.
Yeah, which he's not.
Yeah.
He's just, hey, he have ADD. It just means I have ADD. It just means I get really bored in English class. That's fine. It's not a
yeah. And he, it's not he a thing. He describes it pretty well. Like, he can hyper focus on things he's interested in, and things he's not, he can't focus on. He's just unable to focus on something he doesn't.
Yeah. Want. Yeah. It's pretty. Although I do feel like, especially with the Grace thing, like it got to the point in like where this.
We have less than a minute.
Scripting was like, just so you- yeah, we'll do it in a second. The scripting was, I felt like this character could have been played a little more, and I'm glad it wasn't. Yes. I feel like the actor did a good job of like, oh, he's a pretty normal guy. He's just a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, of all the characters, he played it pretty straight. Yep.
We'll be back right after these sponsors.
People. All winter long, everyone says it's too cold. And then summer comes, we get a nice stretch of heat, and everyone says it's too hot. People, let's make up our minds. Well, thank goodness for Tim Hortons Iced Cappuccino. The new perfect summer treat that'll beat the heat. It's creamy, smooth, it's deep down cool, and it's just $1.69. Hey, this iced cap cools you down when it's hot. Which is good, because you wouldn't want to be hot when it's hot.
I also, my other favorite part about the Iced Cappuccino thing is that, like, that cop, that has to be, like, his number one job.
Yeah.
And he's, like, got, he has to, like, he's done this so many times. He's like, okay, cappuccino, I got the glasses.
And, okay, and we have the whipped cream. That's what I'm wondering, if they're like, man, LA's cops are so crooked they have their own baristas. And I'm like, is that what you're saying? I don't understand.
Staying in this nice mansion.
Why are you dragging both baristas and the cops for that? That's a weird one.
So iced cappuccinos were not a thing until Starbucks invented a special iced foam that you can put on them.
See, I told you, it's not what a cappuccino is. It's a completely different thing.
Exactly, because a cappuccino is, yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, so
the guy who made the muffin, he was a Starbucks barista, so he knows how to make that, and he just brought it with him to the
I'm also glad we're making, we're talking about food, because we're about to go to the barbecue.
Oh, the cookout time. When you're here, you're eating.
This makes me so hungry.
Huh? Well, since Jonathan, since you're the first person to mention the cookout, you know what you have to do? You gotta say grace.
Is that a thing?
Saying grace?
No. Yes.
So being like, oh, you were the first person.
No, that's
to
not a
reach
thing.
Out for the chicken.
Okay.
They're just trying to
At minute 41, second 45, I almost had an accident in my own pants because Brian walks down the steps fisting six beers, six Coronas. He's holding all the Coronas they had from the night before. He has six of them and he's holding them all in his hands. And I'm like, oh.
Do you know what would be a badass move? Is if you took a little drink out of each one of them. It's like, I'm not giving them a full one. They never get
as long as he doesn't drink it. Now, the opposite of that feeling I have is the feeling that I have when I see Vince drink a beer without putting it to his lips.
Yes.
And just pours it into his mouth. And I'm like, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that's the worst way. That is also like in middle school, like, that. Let me drink. Yeah, can I have a drink of your Fanta, man? Like, oh, no, I won't touch it with my lips. I'll just like
no backwash.
Yeah, no backwash.
How many Fantas did you drink in middle school?
Yeah, why do you keep bringing up Fanta?
I don't know. It's just what I don't know. It was actually probably, it was like Fruitopia. That's probably what it was.
We were more of a Shasta town,
oh,
I think.
Oh, Shasta. Wow. Fanta, I don't think we had Shasta in my middle school vending machines.
Mm-hmm. Wait, whoa, we didn't have vending machines in my middle school. You had to bring that Shasta with you.
Yeah, we had vending machines.
Nice.
The corporations got into the public school there.
Didn't you go to like a weird like 6-person school for middle school?
No, I went to
one Corona for
school.
Each of them.
Yeah. Drink Coronas in middle school.
Probably keep the kids in check.
I remember there was another part that I wanted to from way back when. Vince mentions that Dom and he knew each other in third grade. I thought was interesting to think about.
That is interesting. And Vince is really mad that Dom has a new friend. He like walks off. He huffs off and jumps in the car.
Vince says that there was a time when we didn't know each other. He's like, it was the third grade. It's like, that's a point. You know, they've been lifelong friends, I guess, or friend, you know, kind of antagonistic friends, but
Jesse touches the food and Dom makes him do grace, which he screws up because he can't remember the name of God.
Yeah, so, Leon helps out. He's like, spirit.
Can you imagine being an adult and showing up at a party and having the fit that Vince throws here, or Neil, or whatever his name is? Vince Neil. I know he's named after someone from the Motley Crue. Is it Vince or Neil?
I don't know anyone's name from the Motley Crue, so I'm gonna have to take your word for that. There's a weird little kind of poorly edited bit, I think, where Vince like leaves and then comes back like 30 seconds later and is like, oh, I gotta eat.
Just as a cuck. Just like, boo.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking as poorly edited, I wish at this point, Dom and I just forgot his name. And, I wish Dom and Brian were walking down the steps. And he was like, no, really, you gotta tell me why Johnny Tran is so mad at you. It's a long story. We're having dinner. I'll talk about it later. And just keep on bringing it up.
Every scene starts with, what was that about?
It's a long story. And then at the end of the movie, it's just, I screwed his sister. And that's like the only thing they talk about.
Yeah. I have a serious question. Do you think Dom eats corn on the cob by row or column?
I think he puts it in his mouth and then pulls it out and it's completely
like a cartoon.
Yeah.
I think
it's completely devoid of corn.
I thought you were going to say he puts it in his mouth and just like takes a full bite of like the stalk.
Oh, he eats the cob. The whole thing. Well, that's actually not bad either.
I like that.
I would watch Cobbs and Slaw. That's a good movie.
Cobbs
and Slaw. So they thank the car gods for the parts. Which is also weird.
Yeah. Jesse, he says grace, and it's all like these. We thank the Holy Heavenly Spirit for the NAS and for the turbocharge. And it's just like, what? That's the part where I was like, this could have been played like he's really on the spectrum. But he just kind of plays it naturally. He's just like, yeah, this is what I want to say.
That's what's weird is like early on when they're sort of like, he's like, yeah, I couldn't do well in school because I can do cars and math and algebra and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And they show him later on and apparently his brain is devoid of any information that's not cars. He just can't. I don't even know the name of this thing. What am I saying grace about? Who is this?
Yeah.
Who are you guys?
He like could have been played like a character. Like they could have given.
Vince
like
comes back like an officer and a gentleman. He's like, I got nowhere else to go.
Gotta eat.
This is his only place. I assume they feed Vince. Vince lives there, right?
I'm assuming so with his behavior.
Yeah,
he claims to be Jordana Brewster's boyfriend, even though they're not really dating, but he's kind of just hangs around.
Wouldn't that be weird if you lived with somebody who like claimed to be your boyfriend, but you weren't dating? So then they just lived there.
It's a weird situation. He keeps asking her out.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
Yeah, Jessa, tell us what that's like.
It's okay.
I hope they have enough beer for this barbecue. That's my
not all day, no. Because this party goes late into the night. Because they're all drunk watching movies.
Can you guys name the
movie?
Yeah. You know what movie it is? It's Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. That's also directed by Rob Cohen.
With Lauren Holly is in that movie.
Oh. Boo. This is the second worst cameo in this movie. The first being Rob Cohen.
Yep.
Pizza Boy. Get out of here, Pizza Boy.
Does Jason Scott Lee get a pass?
Yes.
Okay.
The goes into the night and then Vince is on popcorn duty and Vince hits the side of a popcorn machine like it's a TV.
It's a microwave, you moron. It's
a popcorn machine.
You rich Jonathan, you probably have like a microwave for each kind of food. Like this one's like
how many bathrooms do you have? How many microwaves do you have?
For popcorn.
You can heat up other things in the microwave besides popcorn? No, Vince is like pounding, like, this thing doesn't work. What the hell? Like, what? It's just like a character beat for him to be like, oh, which is weird because you think he's a car guy. He's a gearhead, so he should be good with machines.
He's, like, it is weird that, like, Vince is the biggest moron ever. But
yeah,
he
really is.
He is right about Brian.
Yeah.
He's right about Brian, but at this moment he's not right because he just wants to make him put on a dress and turn him out to do tricks.
That's
a weird. That's like, really, oh yeah, go wash my car. Mia's like, what? I'm talking to him. Put on a dress. and then I'm going to have you hook for me because I'm now your pimp because that's a good burn. Why won't this popcorn pop? Such an odd.
She just keeps going.
And then like, just walks away after Mia. Mia's like, hey, what's the name of that Mexican restaurant? Cha-cha-cha's.
He gets so excited. He has like little puppy dog eyes like, oh, cha-cha-cha. Yeah. Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha's. And she's like, you can take me there, Brian. And I'm like, oh, Mia, that's not cool.
No, it is. It is.
That is like the heaviest hammer fall. Just like, boom.
Yeah.
Even though Vince is a jerk, yeah. it's still not cool.
Too much. Yeah.
I disagree. This guy came in. Some nice guy shows up and is like, I'll help you wash dishes, which is like the correct move.
Yeah.
And then some guy's like, hey, you must be some woman. Popcorn, huh?
You're a hooker for doing the dishes. What you doing?
Like, I'm gonna put you in a dress, and we're gonna go down to the dairy farm, and you're gonna milk the little cows, and then we're gonna go to the show, and I'm gonna put my arm around you real tight while we watch the dancers.
But I don't want you to get the wrong idea, so we're gonna get married at some point.
The stretch he makes is, you're helping in the kitchen, so you must be a woman.
Yeah.
And you must be a woman who will sell her body for sex.
That's all Vince
and
knows.
I'm
look,
going it... to be the one that sells you. That's the connections in Vince.
By the way,
that's going
to totally turn on this girl who I'm trying to woo.
Yeah, so her coming back and being like, what's that place you want to take me? Brian's going to take me. That's a good move by Conehead.
Jazz. Where can I consume mass quantities of tacos?
Is there rubber?
And rubbers. And light bulbs. Do I eat light bulbs? I don't remember.
I just want to sing Tainted Love now.
Because of the thorn. I forget what he says.
I got to run away.
Run away. That movie's awesome. Yep. Go watch the Coneheads if you've never seen it. It's pretty funny.
Quarter movie at a time.
No,
quarter
not.
Forehead at a time.
Yeah.
Quarter forehead. Five head.
I just love that they're just all watching a movie together.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It is very cute.
It is like the closest thing to realism this movie has gotten, I feel like, to be like, oh, they just hung out and watched a movie.
Yeah.
That's basically what we were trying to do in Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
we just lay on top of each other and watch a movie.
We didn't, like, send the one woman to do the dishes.
That's not true. My wife did the dishes, and she wasn't playing the game. And I go, hey, where'd you go? She goes, I went to do the dishes while you guys played a game. I went, oh.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I definitely didn't say, yeah, you should go tricking now. Why can't you make popcorn?
How's this
make put on a dress and go out to the street.
Yeah, I believe she and Tabitha actually did the dishes, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Tabitha,
who also listens to the show.
Thank
you, Tabitha and Meredith. You're wonderful.
The next day, or the next day, Hector and his crew show up at High Performance. Did you hear what Hector says when he gets out of the car?
Oh, no, not that. Later on when he says, white boys work fast, don't they?
Okay, there are a ton of asides, and I don't know if these are ad-libs from the actors.
Hector seems like he seems like a guy who would throw in a lot of his own stuff.
Like, when he gets out of the car, he goes, hey, it's like valet parking. You're just parked in the front, dude, okay? It's not valet parking. It's not that at all. Yeah, later on, he's like, hey, white dudes work fast.
White boys
there's
work
a lot
fast,
of those little things. Like, it's kind of, the white dudes works fast is second to only to, what'd you put in that sandwich? from the first chunk as my favorite, like, there's so many little asides and little things that they say. I'm gonna go back to it. It's my favorite. Hey Dom, you want a drink? And he like holds it up like I got one.
Well, even earlier we forgot to mention this, but like another weird piece of writing is this is way back in the chunk, but they like show up, they take the cab to Dom's house, and then Brian's like, "Whoop, see you later, bye." And then like 1 second later, Dom's like, "You want to come in?"
There's six beers. Like, you might get to drink one of them.
Couldn't we have just assumed after everything they went through, he would have invited him in? Like, where was Brian going to go?
I guess I'll get another cab. I'll go hail another cab somewhere else.
And then I'll call
in a residential area. Good luck finding a cab.
So you're talking about the good. There are some good lines in this movie, and I wanted to bring up one of the writers of this movie, Mr. David Ayer, famous writer of movies with cops in them.
What else has he done?
He also, in the same year, he wrote Training Day.
Oh, that's a also in 2001 movie.
Yeah. He's done some good movies. He's kind of a trash person now. Maybe he always was. He also wrote Suicide Squad.
God.
He wrote Sabotage with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh. Sabotage.
Yeah. SWAT in 2003.
I like that
movie.
Solid.
It's all right. Yeah. Bright 2. He has Bright 2 coming out. He also directed Bright.
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. He did Bright.
Max Landis and his dad who murders people.
Yes.
Max Landis who murders scripts.
Yep. So, yeah, that's David Ayer. This is only the second movie he wrote. His first was U-571.
Oh, the submarine.
That's my favorite John Bon Jovi submarine movie.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
You know, that submarine was slippery when wet.
I'm just going to laugh like I understand this reference.
Yep.
It's a musical reference.
Oh. Like Cats?
Yep, like Cats.
Yep.
Yep. Just also like Cats. Slippery when wet.
Did you know that T.S. Eliot wrote a lot of John Bon Jovi songs from the 80s?
Yep, Bed of Roses was written by T.S. Eliot.
Skimble Shanks, that was a great Bon Jovi song. Rum Tum Tugger, yeah. Oh, I love that song. That's so good. All right, so Hector brings his gang, high performance, they're buying parts.
We do hear him speak perfectly enunciated Spanish as well, so I don't know why he can't pronounce his last name.
I think that's a joke.
Well, sure, yeah, if you want to, you don't want to go along with my bit, Jonathan. You just say it.
Yeah, how's that feel?
Oh, it's getting real.
It's getting real. We're family.
Sometimes family is to have it out a little bit.
So, Brian Spellner is fast on the computer. He's buying parts.
Right,
and Hector
boys
needs,
work fast.
Yep, he needs three things.
He has three of everything. So he's
three of everything, and he's putting them in three Honda Civics,
yeah.
Sweet.
Which has Brian's white boy radar going off.
Yeah.
Hey, this might be something.
Three Honda Civics, like in the heist scene in the beginning.
Yeah, it's like, it's a clue, everyone. Then we go to, at first I thought, oh, we're at El Gato Negro. I'm like, oh, sweet, we're going to get another night race.
No.
Nope. Just a place for them to all hang out.
Yep.
This is near, I guess, Hector's garage.
Wait, when this chunk ends, we have spent 52 minutes and there's been one race. Half the movie's over. One race.
Yep, and there's only one race so far. And Brian is sneaking into Hector's while Hector's over at the El Gato Negro.
I guess for Johnny Tran, you go to Chinatown, and for Hector's gang, you go to El Gato Negro.
Because he's Mexican, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Why don't they have a big, I was trying to think of what kind of statue you could have at El Gato Negro.
A giant
since we had
Confucius. Pancho Villa statue or something.
Yeah.
Giant Pancho Villa. I'd take that. I almost said Speedy Gonzalez, but,
okay, Jonathan, we'll just, you didn't have to say that out loud, but, I guess we'll leave it in.
Brian sneaking and Vince and it's getting confusing. Vince and Dom catch him.
Once again, this doesn't make any sense. So, Brian's like, I'm going to go check out if Hector has the goods, right? That's what he's trying to think of, right?
Right. He's looking for a bunch of TVs.
So why do Dom and Vince care that he's checking out Hector's stuff? Like, why does it matter to them? He's not checking out their stuff.
I think they're worried about – I think they followed him because they don't know where he's going. I think the fact that he went to Hector's has nothing to do with it. If he'd gone home, they'd have been like, all right, he's just some guy.
There's a deleted scene where Vince, whatever, is like, come on, man. I've known you since third grade. You're my best friend. Let's check him out. Let's see what's going on. Let's follow him. Let's follow that buster.
I bet you half the beers in this house, he's a cop.
Go.
The three beers.
Yeah.
What was that about? Oh, it's a long story.
Yeah, Vince is right. But I have to admit, Brian's excuse is pretty great. Like, he sells it pretty well. I wasn't like, you know, like when you always see these in movies and people just go, I was trying to build, I don't know. And like, it like falls apart really quickly. Brian's is like, I was checking on their cars because he's got a ton of, he starts naming all the stuff because he wants to win race wars.
No.
And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's actually pretty good for Brian because Brian's this, shiny new boy.
This is a very
trying to impress Dom.
This is a very pre 9/11 movie too. In 2001, where they can just throw out terms like race war.
That's exactly what I was saying. Are they meaning race wars? Because
no.
Okay.
No, it's the vroom vroom race wars.
Yeah, it's a race like car, with racing with cars.
Yeah.
Wars.
Yeah.
It's not a, it is, and it's a real thing.
6 year old made that up.
I know.
Yep. Yes, it does.
Well, and that's what I mean. That's what makes it so like pre 9/11, where it's like this. We're beyond racism now, everyone. No one. There's
we won.
No
we won. Racism's gone.
You know. This is, we're done. We solved that problem in America. We're talking about when the cars move fast.
That's one, like the, when they get to race wars, have like Shaft show up and be like, "It's a race war." Yeah. Cocks a shotgun, just like,
no. Like, no, 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 pump the brakes, Shaft. It's not that kind of race war. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's.
I'm just talking about race war. Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Can I ask one more question before that?
Yeah.
They ask Brian, "You a cop?" And he never answers. Is this like movie entrapment where he can't say no?
Yep, it's right.
He's like, "Oh, I can't. If I say no, I'm." Ruin the invest. That's not true, is it?
No,
you need like to coerce someone into.
Like, if you're undercover, you can lie.
Yeah,
you're allowed to lie.
You can lie at any time.
Otherwise, it feels pretty easy. You just have like a 3-question standardized test to join a gang, and that's one of the questions. And like,
are you a cop? No.
Are you a cop? Are you a cop? Not a cop.
Circle yes or no.
Cop, not a cop.
Do you like me? Yes or no. Are you a cop? Yes or no.
Do you know how to microwave popcorn?
How many beers could you bring to our barbecue?
If you had to hold all the beers you could carry, how many beers is that?
I just thought real quick that when I'm sorry, when Vince or Neil or whoever from Motley Crue was trying
There's
to
no
use
Neil.
The microwave, they should have been like, he should have been like, you want popular science? Buy the magazine.
You want guns and ammo. Is that better?
You want a car and a driver.
Car and a driver.
Buy the magazine.
Only the Fast and the Furious would add all these articles to the fronts of it. The car and the driver.
Well, I can't just say you want car and driver. That doesn't make sense grammatically.
I love it.
So they go back to Chinatown. And they're going to look at the other people. That's basically what Brian is trying to get them to do. And Vince is like, that's not a bad idea. And Dom's like, that's not a bad idea. So they all go.
Can you really call trans people like the other people?
What?
Isn't a race war, Jonathan?
Yes.
Race war.
Let's check out
other people. They're the other gang. They don't have a name. If they like were called the Scorpions or something, I'd be good. But. I don't know who they are.
Chinese, Confucius say.
The Tran gang.
Yeah.
They show up, and they're now looking into Tran's car, and when Tran shows up on his motorcycle, all hell breaks loose. They have to hide.
They have a very white man. This is the A-plus casting of this fence, this white man named Ted.
Like, do you see anything wrong there? He's like, no.
Yeah, so what is Ted's grift here? He just removed the engines?
I don't really know. Ted is the fence. So Ted is their, I guess he's their fence, so he is in charge of like getting like transferring their stolen goods.
Are we supposed to know who Ted is?
No. This is the only scene Ted's in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they pump Ted full of oil and then we never.
It's so gross.
It's basically where it is. Vince, are you killing him? What are you doing? You're waterboarding him with oil.
Waterboarding with any? Yeah, you asked Lance. What do you think? 40 grade? 50 grade?
No, 40 weight. And I have a question for you. And this is please answer this honestly. Did you know that the W in the oil means weight? I had no idea.
Nope, didn't know that.
Okay, I was like, what's 40 weight?
Yeah,
what's 50 weight? I was like, okay.
Yeah, the W. So WD-40.
WD-40, that's still like...
That's something else, isn't it?
Fix your squeaky wheel.
That's weight diameter 40. That doesn't make any sense.
I know, yeah, I try. I don't have any knowledge of this.
You're such a gearhead.
I'm such a gearhead. I know all about oils and lubricants.
You totally should have proposed to him wearing a tank top.
I know.
What a bunch of alphas you have for this podcast and this movie.
Yeah, you guys are such alphas. You're such doms. All of you.
Such
all three
of the doms. But I tried to figure out like what this meant, and basically it's like how thick the oil is, I guess. So if it's like the higher the weight, the number is just like, it's like thicker consistency.
Yeah, so, like viscosity. Oh, God.
Viscosity.
Viscosity.
I think.
So, yeah, then Lance with his crazy person stare says, 40 weight sounds good.
Yeah. Like, he thought about it, like, well, you know.
It's like, yeah. We don't want to go to 50. 50's a little much. 40's okay.
So, when I get, like, whatever, 5W20, that means 5 weight? But, like, what does the weight mean? Like,
It's how heavy it is. It literally is how heavy
it
is.
So, how heavy that bottle is?
A thinner oil weighs less.
That bottle doesn't.
30 weight weighs less than 40 weight.
But, like, how much of it needs to make that number?
It's probably the same. Here's some, this will give me flashbacks to my old job, but you know, 100-pound paper, you've heard people say, oh, what is this? It's 100-pound. Yeah. The reason why it's called 100-pound paper is because the pallet that it's built from is 100 pounds. They don't give it to you in 100-pound pallets. Gotcha. Same as the 40 weight. The 40 weight must be the
drum barrel
mother size of whatever it is. It's, you know, if it's 40 pounds per terrain of this stuff, and then they put it into other things. Like, they weigh it on some measurement, and if it weighs 40 pounds, that is the amount of that.
I learned so much.
Does that make sense?
I learned so much. Thank you.
All right. You're such a gearhead. That was a learning corner. Mm-hmm.
That was paper corner.
I have another, now we're looking at Johnny Tran today. I have another piece from not so great.
You know, he's deceased.
Yeah, he died.
Keep going.
He's dead.
He died
not yet.
In the Tran Wars.
In the commentary with Rob Cohen, he says, he brings up that he hesitated to cast an Asian actor in the role of the villain, but he thought because he directed Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, it was okay. He was on the right side of it.
That big hit, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story,
so
that everyone
basically
saw.
He's thinking of racism as a, like, sort of a you put one in, take one out kind of system.
He has the same thing he thinks about that Tarantino thinks, because he's cast black people in movies, he can now say that word
totally
out loud, and it's all good. And it's like, it's not all good, dude.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. That being said, you know, it doesn't particularly come off to me as like all Asian people are bad guys now. It's just it's fine. It's kind of weird that he brought it up.
It is weird that he brought it up. Like, what, in what context? I mean, it's not in an Asian film. Everyone's Asian, so yes,
you're right.
I guess
you nailed it.
I guess when you're thinking about, like, maybe if you're thinking like the Broken Arrows, and a lot of these different movies, there are a lot of movies where the bad guy is a white dude, or then they have these movies where some of the Lethal Weapons, I think someone I know is doing Lethal Weapon a quarter minute at a time.
Quarter minute at a time. Yeah.
Quarter movie at a time.
No, you have to to do it a quarter minute now.
Yeah, no.
I think like those movies sometimes have Asian people as bad guys, so I understand what he's saying, but it's really weird that he brought up, like, I'm weird about doing this. You built a thing in Chinatown. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, 2001 also, like this is, it sounds weird, but this is pre 9/11. Like, we didn't have that, like, I mean, I'm glad, you know, it's unfortunate, but this, like, easy, like, oh, well, the Russians are the villains. The Nazis are the villains. You know what I mean? So, like, you're just like, oh, well, we don't have, like, an easy to point, like, quote unquote villain that everyone will know in 2001. I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying that you see that happening based off what's happening, like, geopolitically and like, affects what Hollywood does. I mean, look at nearly every movie in, like, the 80s. It's the Russians.
I'd love it if it had a car ride up at some point with, like, swastikas around. It's like, I'm here to race. I'll race for the Germans.
It's time for race wars.
I will race for greatness.
I'm here for the race wars.
Oh, my God. You just see everybody, like, back away.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like Homer Simpson just into the shrub. And it's all like, no, thank you.
We're not going to take that line of thought.
The dude in the Star of David Carr just peels away. I'm out of this. I'm out. I don't want to be in this race anymore.
Oy vey.
I've won your car at the Master Race Wars.
Was that Sean Connery?
Yeah. Yes, it's me, Sean Connery. By the way, I'm a huge Nazi. In case you're wondering.
Fun fact.
Since we can't do Vin Diesel impressions, so we'll just do other people as horrible people.
I did spend a little time, I know we're kind of at the end of the chunk, but I did spend a little time looking up anagrams for the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, wow.
All right, let's do it.
So I've got three here. All right. These are using, obviously, anagrams, using the same letters in case people don't know what an anagram is, I guess. All right, so one that could be, which I kind of think this works because we talk about a lot of the product placement in this movie. This movie could be called Auto Theft Furnishes Ad.
Okay.
Right? That works.
I like it.
Yeah.
This one deals a lot with the guy from Motley Crue, Vince or Neil or Tommy or whatever his name is. Stiff Auto Headhunters.
I like that.
But I think the best one, and I have not watched all the Fast and Furious movies. Maybe this is a plot of one. I don't know. Is simply Theft Aroused a Fish Nut.
That happens in 6,
yeah,
I think.
Is that one? That one? Is that one the, yeah, the fish nut?
The one with the tank.
I'm having to think about it a little bit and be like, could that work? Maybe.
So there's just some ideas for
if,
the franchise.
If Jason Momoa shows up in one of these movies,
yes,
who played Aquaman,
oh
then
God,
we can make that.
Holy crap, I'd be so happy. Speaking of, since we're kind of wrapping up today and the chunk, I do want to bring up one thing that was pitched, but because of Paul Walker's death, they didn't do it. And when I hear it, it makes me so excited. It's as exciting as seeing him carry 6 beers. The original end, the original ending of the Furious 7, they rewrote it, but it was going to consist. Now, explain this to me because I think Johnny Tran dies, but they explained it as the team consisting of Johnny Tran, Carter Verone, Arturo Braga, ZZ, and Deckard Shaw were all going to come together.
All the
bad guys from every movie that have not died.
Like Road Rules.
And again, I don't understand how that works because Johnny Tran was dead, are going to come back.
You can bring
back.
Anyone back. You know,
sure.
Death doesn't mean
but
nothing.
It would have been, how amazing would it be if Cypher worked with the bad guys from all the other movies?
Well, it would have been, Deckard Shaw in Furious 7, but yeah.
Yeah, it would have.
But they could have done
but,
it again.
I mean, they tried, I'm not going to say this until our Hobbs and Shaw review because I've got some ideas on who the bad guy is from that. So,
yeah, that's all. I'm really excited to talk about
that.
We'll
wait for that.
Will this series ever end or is this just like Bond? You know,
our podcast? No.
No, well, the Fast and the Furious franchise, the Theft Aroused a Fish Nut series.
I think the Fish Aroused the Fish Nut will go on through, well, past 9. 9 and 10 are doing
They have a plan
it.
To go to, like, 11, I think, because 9, 10, 11 are going to be another trilogy. That's what I've heard. 10 is already in pre-production. It's on IMDb.
It's not pre, it's in production.
Well, no,
wait,
not,
what are we
9,
talking about? 9,
9
no, 9's in production.
9, 9, 9. 9. The Race Wars.
As of today, 9 is 10 weeks into production, yeah. So that's confusing.
Okay. It's yeah, but 10 is already like it's listed on IMDb. It's like Vin Diesel's going to be in Fast 10, Fast and Furious 10.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Nas! Nas! This was fun.
Nas!
This was fun, and I think we're slowly getting into our groove of how we want to do this podcast. So hopefully you guys will come back next Friday for the next chunk.
I won't be back.
Nope. Which, thank God.
I'll be back.
Yes.
I'll be back.
Ride or die, Murray.
Ride or die, Bandit. Do you guests want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye.
You don't want to say ride or die?
Ride or bye.
Ride or bye.
All right. Fair enough.